For the second consecutive week, national interest is focusing on India's larger national security and strategic interests and issues. And you know what? This week's argument we are basing in the current ongoing election campaign in for five state assemblies. In fact, four state assemblies and one union territory. So, is there something that you are missing in this election campaign? Let me pose it as a riddle to you and I will resolve it in 1 minute from now or 1.5 minutes from now. But it is not just one thing that you are missing. You are missing three things this time and three significant things in this election campaign. Now, run your eye over the election campaign. It is run. It is being run by the BJP at the same intensity as they run any other campaign. Narendra Modi is out campaigning every day in every state. Amit Shah is out. All the key members of the cabinet are out. The party president JP Nadda is out. And they are all going and holding rallies, getting defectors from other parties, filing cases. CBI is going out. ED is going out. Tax department is going out. All the usual stuff is happening. Because we know that that is the BJP's approach. For BJP, no prize is too small, we keep saying, not even Puducherry. So they even pulled down the Puducherry government before these elections. Also, BJP fights every election as if the fate of its government in Delhi depends on it. Almost as if this is the last battle. Ye haar gaye toh khatam. If you lose it, then you are finished. So that spirit you see in this campaign as well, there can be no doubt about that. So what is it that is missing this time? So I told you that within 1.5 minutes, I will resolve the riddle for you. So the three things that are missing in this election campaign, when I tell you, you will say, oh, this was so obvious. The three things that are missing in this campaign are Pakistan, Bangladeshis, and terrorism. You find that in all this fury of this election campaign, three things are missing. In fact, the very issue of national security, threat to India, etc., etc., are missing. Indian military is not being brought in, hardly anything anywhere, but not at all in any substantive manner. Compare this with any election campaign that you've seen since 2014 as yet. In Bihar election campaigns in 2017, it was said that if BJP loses in Bihar or if the anti-BJP coalition wins in Bihar, then people will celebrate it by bursting firecrackers in Pakistan. In Karnataka elections, Karnataka is quite distant from national security issues generally you would imagine, or from Pakistan or China you would imagine. But in Karnataka, the Prime Minister again addressed several meetings and talked about how his troops, he was so proud of his troops who had stood up to the Chinese at Doklam. In fact, who had stood down the Chinese at Doklam. He even went to the extent of saying that Jawaharlal Nehru had humiliated General Thimaya, the former army chief, who is a son of Karnataka. That was missing this time. Then 2017 Uttar Pradesh election, you know that this was conducted under the shadow or with the inspiration or the fuel of the surgical strikes post Udi. So Udi surgical strikes, and then that idea ki hum ghar mein ghuske maarte hain. So Modi ji ghar mein ghuske maarte hain if anybody acts funny. Similarly, 2019 general election, that was in the shadow of Pulwama, Balakot, etc. Again, ghar mein ghuske maarna was the theme. So what changed after that? Also, in the run-up to 2019, you had also seen sort of the ratcheting up of the CAA NRC business, which continued even after the 2019 general elections. Remember, the talk was of CAA plus NRC, and the chronology, quote unquote, was very clearly explained. Now, something happened after that. We know that these anti-CAA protests took place, but also a pushback from the Gulf countries started. The Gulf Muslim countries, pushback came from the US also, but Trump's US administration was very quiet about this. There was some from the Europeans, but you could deal with it because Trump wasn't so bothered either about human rights or about Muslims or about how any other country where he had interests would treat any of its citizens. That is now changed. The second thing that happened was that by the end of 2019, it was becoming clear that the relationship with China wasn't getting any better. And if anything, India was now becoming like a frontline state for China, or China was becoming a frontline state for India. China was not a threat India could ignore completely. Remember, this was before the trouble in Ladakh. So we had then taken the risk of sticking our neck out, and I had written a national interest in December 2019 based on, or triggered by, or sparked by Narendra Modi's speech at Aligarh Muslim University, which was quite conciliatory, definitely by his standards. And Aligarh Muslim University, he even talked about the fact that many foreign students come and study there, and we had also given you a list of the countries from which foreign students come and how many. In fact, we had noted that AMU even has a Pakistani woman student in its dentistry college. I'm sharing that article with you in today's description. And then I had said that I'm sticking my neck out to foresee change, that Narendra Modi is making a course correction, because he is now acknowledging and realizing the fact that his use of many of these national security issues in domestic politics has begun to hurt India's larger foreign policy and strategic interests. These are always the risks that you take. So usually you will find that governments in India have avoided doing this. But the Modi, Amit Shah, BJP believes in total politics. It's like total war, total cricket, total hockey, whatever you call it, which means everybody does everything, every player plays every role, and you throw everything in the battle. For them, it was all real politics. But now this was beginning to have consequences. I can now say that the latest developments, particularly the tenor of this campaign so far, shows that we were not wrong. And so I will now risk and say that this is a larger correction that has now been undertaken by the Modi government. In fact, if a Martian landed in the middle of this election campaign, she'll be very surprised, because if the Martian had read about Indian politics lately, recent Indian politics, she'll be very surprised if she landed in India right now, because it'll look like India faces no external national security problems, there is no terrorism, there are no Bangladeshi ghuspetias, and there is no Pakistan threat at this point. In fact, the Martian might even think that India's neighbors are very nice guys or very nice people who are maintaining peace and tranquility on the border. If this isn't change, then what is change? And a change of these dimensions and this depth cannot come unless it's deliberate and consciously thought out. You want to again see how important the change is? That Narendra Modi, whose party until last general elections in parliament, in fact, that whole Ghuspetia business happened then, in that election was using Bangladeshis or illegal Bangladeshis as encroachers, as people who were eating away at the vitals of the Indian state and the economy. He is now campaigning for West Bengal elections out of Dhaka in Bangladesh. Many of the things that he's doing there, even the timing of this visit, is timed with the election. So now he is projecting himself as a friend of the Bengalis everywhere. In fact, as the new Bang Bandhu, he even said that as a 21 year old in 1971, he had joined protests in support of the Bangladesh movement and he'd been arrested. So this is the big change, and this big change, one, there is a reason behind it. Second, we have to see how long lasting it will be. And third, we have to understand where this change is coming from. So let's first get our editorial view out of the way. We welcome this change because we don't believe in taunting and saying, see, itne din tak to you were doing something else, now you are changing. In politics, people have the right to go front foot, back foot, sideways, cross the line a little bit, commit a few fouls as long as they, or jump out of the crease as long as they don't get stumped. If they get stumped, it's their problem. So this is real politics. People do interesting things. Now, we are also not sure how long-lasting it will be. Maybe this change comes with a use-by date, and use-by date is the next Uttar Pradesh elections. It's possible. But it is not that likely, because there are real reasons which are causing this change to happen. And what are these reasons? I will tell you three important ones. Number one, there was an obvious sense of jubilation with which China and Pakistan moved into the space that they saw India as vacating in Bangladesh. Bangladesh has already quite enthusiastically joined China's BRI, the Border and Road Initiative. Bangladesh also gets a large amount of investment and loans from China. In fact, a lot of Bangladesh's armed forces are now equipped with Chinese goods, Chinese weapons, including their submarine. So China was already there, but Pakistan also saw an opening because Bangladeshis were getting alienated with India, particularly with the CAA, NRC stuff. And as we have mentioned earlier, Bangladesh had cancelled some visits to India as well in that situation. After that, there was a summit between Modi and Sheikh Hasina, where it looked like some kind of calm was brought in and some order was being restored. So that was the one big concern that came in, because India already is living in a troubled environment. This was also a time when India's relationship with two other neighbors was going through some hiccups, that is Nepal, which suddenly included large chunks of Indian territory into its own map, driven by its own internal politics, and obviously by the Chinese and the Sri Lankans as well, where with the change of regime, the China factor has again become more important. So India was already jostling with this in Sri Lanka and Nepal. The last thing it wanted was an angry Bangladesh giving up on it and becoming a Bengali-speaking Pakistan to India's east. So that is the first reason why this change was needed. Second, the threat in eastern Ladakh has abated. But while the threat is abated, the Chinese have made their point. And the point is that in this neighborhood, you have not one but two adversaries. So don't take your larger adversary for granted. Don't think that the larger adversary will never give you trouble. And also that now if there is a conflict or if there is trouble, don't think that the smaller adversary will be left all by himself. We are not going to leave Pakistan to fend for itself as we had done in 1971. That became quite evident this time. And that is why it became important to move towards a cessation of hostile rhetoric with Pakistan, and also restoration of peace on the line of control, and many other things have happened, river water talks around Pakistan's equestrianism team has come to India. So it is as if peace has broken out between India and Pakistan for now. And third thing, very importantly, that exploiting sensitive, nuanced national security and foreign policy issues in domestic policies has many downsides, especially one that could boomerang. And what do we mean by boomerang? We mean the literal meaning of boomerang, when you throw something and it comes back to hit you. What we mean is that the Chinese underlined a harsh reality to Modi government in Ladakh, that unlike with Pakistan, you can't get into a skirmish with the Chinese or be reasonably sure of ending it by claiming victory, as we did, say, after Pulwama, Balakot, etc., as we did after Uri. The Chinese don't give you such an option, at least you can't be so sure of that. And while the army showed that it has a formidable defensive capability, it could stop the Chinese and hold its ground, really, it was unrealistic to believe that a larger skirmish with China could be ended very quickly by claiming victory, as has been done in the past with Pakistan. Given that realization, course correction had become necessary, because Modi's strongman persona is built on that ghar mein ghuske mara belief, that if anybody acts funny with Modi's India, this is the new India. If you act funny with Modi's India, then Modi ji ghar mein ghuske marenge. Lekin aap Cheen mein ghar mein ghuske nahi mar sakte. There is a problem there. And that's why if push came to the shove with China, there was a risk that a skirmish would end in a way that will not only reaffirm that image of Narendra Modi's, but may in fact end up harming it or damaging it, his strongman image. That's the reason we said that this tactics, continuing use of this tactics could now boomerang, and that's why it was important to de-risk himself and his party and his politics. Now you can see a sizable correction is on. With the Chinese, nothing hostile is being said. The army chief has just said that Chinese threat has abated. The army chief has also said that after 5-6 years, there is complete peace and tranquility, not a bullet fired in the month of March. On the LOC, he's even said February has been good for us, which means because there's been thawing on both our borders. Now, at that point, it is difficult to sell a big threat to national security in the election campaign. Normally, you would have said that maybe the Modi, Shah, BJP instinct would have been to let troubles on the border continue and play on that insecurity in this election campaign. But they had seen the risks in that continuing tension or tense situation, and thereby, as I said earlier, they carried out a de-risking strategy. This is the time when Narendra Modi is tweeting to Imran Khan, wishing him a speedy recovery from COVID. He's also writing this nice letter full of diplomatic niceties, in fact, on Pakistan's National Day, 23rd of March, which has ideological implications because Pakistan's National Day is not Pakistan's Independence Day or the Republic Day equivalent. Finally, there is also the America factor. Biden administration has surprised India on the pleasant side. And that pleasant surprise has been that one policy from Trump administration, which Biden administration is not only not reversing, but in fact is pursuing even more vigorously. So it's like he's picked up the baton from Trump and is running even faster than Trump, as we saw in Alaska and in many other actions. And that is the policy towards China. So you need to give Biden space, because Biden's own team is filled with young people of South Asian origin who are deeply skeptical or suspicious of Narendra Modi and his politics, particularly of his treatment of civil liberties and India's Muslim minority. So at this point, any policy or any policy actions that push Biden into a corner will not be good for India, because he already has a lot of issues to deal with the radicals in Democratic Party. So you don't want to corner him on these issues as well. So maybe it's wiser to call a halt to that politics or that rhetoric for now. So under Modi and Shah, BJP believes in winning every election. And they think the purpose of every policy move, whether it's on the economy or national security or society, there is only one purpose, one supreme purpose, the first purpose with the capital F is winning all elections. Everything else will follow. And that is the reason I'd risk saying now that they have understood that their cynical mixing of domestic political motivations with strategic national interests was soon going to become counterproductive. Because one thing Narendra Modi cannot afford to do is to look like a loser on a national security issue. He has decided now not to risk it. It is smart politics, and frankly, it's much better for India.